This morning, I'm titling this Following Authority. Following Authority. Last week, we looked at Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 19, where Jesus reads out of the book of Isaiah what we know as chapter 61, telling us how the Messiah would transform the lives of people. Now, in the last part, though, of chapter 4, Luke begins to show us the actions of Jesus that indeed fulfill the prophetic about him. So Jesus not only says he is the Messiah, he is the Messiah. Amen? Heavenly Father, would you teach us today? Lord, help us to learn who you are and know that you have all authority. Lord, we want to follow you and you alone. Lord, help us to love you and trust you and get to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. It says, then he went. Now let me back up. Remember, they took him to the brow of the hill. They're going to throw him off this cliff. And the Bible says he walked right through their midst. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. On the Sabbath, he taught the people, just like we're here in church on our Sabbath day to rest before the Lord. And it says they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Now, the teachers of that day, much like the teachers of today, used to draw their authority by quoting other sources. In fact, the only source I really know this morning that gives any authority is the Word of God. You know, I mean, when I quote that, that gives it authority, not me. But Jesus did not need to quote anybody as he taught. Because Jesus instructed with wisdom, because he was the Word, and he instructed with words that were more profound than anyone had ever heard before. And the people, it says, were amazed at the authority of his words. Now think about this. Almost 2,000 years have passed since Jesus walked on the earth. His words are still the most studied words of history. Throughout the world today, people are poring over his words and his teaching. And on even any given day, there are probably millions who are studying and memorizing his words. In fact, the words of Jesus, along with the entire Bible, because he is the Word, has incredible relevance to our contemporary situations even today. The Word of God has the ability to speak to the deepest needs of our soul. It can penetrate our defenses and really show us who we are. In fact, many times Jesus' words cut right to the heart of every issue out there. Jesus' words have been used to bring comfort to those who are hurting and peace to those who are troubled and direction to those who are lost, hope for the hopeless, and insight to those who are searching. Listen, church, you can read his words, study his words, teach his words, memorize his words, and you will never, ever fully and completely mine the depth of their richness. Jesus gives us words that bring life. In fact, a teaching in John, Jesus says this, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. That would be a good one to memorize. We get so lost on the flesh, it counts for nothing. But he says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. And a few verses down, listen to what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Church, the words of Jesus have authority. And it'd be good for us to listen to everything he has to teach us and instruct us from his word. Is there an amen to that? Amen. Let me look at the next verses, though, that not only show his authority of his words, but authority over demons. In verse 33, in the synagogue, I think that's interesting. They're in church. There was a man possessed by a demon. How many like demons to walk in here? An impure spirit, he says. He cried out at the top of his voice. Now, I'm not going to do it exactly like he did it because it'd be too loud. But he says, go away, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, what if something like that happened in church here? How many would be freaked out a little bit? I would be. I mean, it's not where I live. It's not where you and I live. In this story, though, we're told that the reason the man is screaming is because he is possessed by a demon. Now, the idea of demon possession is something that's probably foreign to most of us, and I've only encountered it in a very small way. And I know that I do not spend a lot of time teaching about the demonic. And that's because I believe our focus should be on Jesus and his work in our lives, not on the enemy and his work in the world. This morning, though, because it is in our scripture, I do want to address the topic for a moment. This is what we know from the Word of God. Number one, demons, also known as evil spirits, are real. You need to know that. I'm giving you scripture reference here, but the Bible talks about how we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against these powers and spiritual forces of evil. A second thing you need to know is demons are the third of the angels that were cast out of heaven who are agents at work with Satan. Remember when Satan was cast out and his tail swept up, a third of the angels that did not continue to be faithful to God, but they came and they become this demonic force with Satan. Number three, demons can take control of an individual and even speak coherently through them. Just like in the passage we just read in Luke 4, right there, we just read it. He was possessed and he began to speak and it was coherent. Fourth, demons are spiritual beings who on occasion leave one being and enter another. We find the story in Matthew 8, tells of a time when demons he was possessed. It was legion, it was many of them. And they asked, can we go into that herd of pigs? And Jesus allowed it, but they were moved from one to another. But fifth, I want you to know this today. Believers cannot be possessed by demons. Church, a believer is a person who is delivered from the devil. I don't believe followers of Christ can be inhabited by demons because a true believer is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can still be oppressed. We can still be influenced by the demonic, but not possessed or inhabited. Now, there's probably a lot of questions that you have in regards to the demonic, and I want you to know, I do not have all the answers that you might require. But when it comes to the devil and his demons, I want you to avoid two extremes. First, we should not demonize everything that's out there. That is to blame the devil and his demons for everything that's going wrong and give them too much credit. But on the other hand, the second thing, we must not dismiss the reality of the devil's power. That is to underestimate his control and his influence in this world. Church, toying with the occult and with black magic, with tarot cards, fortune tellers, and horoscopes is dangerous, perilous, and unwise. Basically, all of those things should be avoided and rejected in our lives on every occasion. Because when you ask for trouble, you will find it. Stay away from those things that even have a hint of evil surrounding it. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It teaches us, abstain from evil. Flee the appearance of evil. I like the Amplified because he goes on and says, shrink from it and keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. Get away from it. Amen. Everybody? Amen. All right, so back to our passage. In the verses we read, when this demon screamed out, it might have even sounded like he was helping Jesus when he said, you're the Holy One of God. However, by announcing that Jesus was this Holy One and the Messiah, the demon was trying to do one of two things. Either cause the people to condemn Jesus of blasphemy, which was not in God's timing at this time, Or the demon wanted to incite people to follow him for the wrong reason. Now let me explain that. Something you and I need to understand from biblical times is that many of the people there, they were waiting for the Messiah. But they thought the Messiah was going to be a political leader. So all of a sudden, they begin to follow him for the wrong reason. And since they didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah, and that they would have thought he's coming as a political leader, but he had come as a spiritual leader. And the demon's words could have been confusing to the people. So Jesus immediately puts a stop to it in verse 35 where he says, "Be quiet." Jesus says sternly, "Come out of him." If you've ever wondered, Jesus is meek and mild. Let me tell you, he can be stern. He sternly says, "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. The thing to note here is that even though demons do have some power, all demonic power has to submit to the authority of Jesus. When Jesus spoke that command, that demon had to obey. Church, you do not have to live your life, though, in fear of demons. But may I also remind you, do not flirt with the demonic or the evil. Church, we are growing to live our lives to know Jesus more, not the demonic more. So spend time with Jesus. In the next verses, it shows that Jesus also has authority over sickness and disease. After this somewhat unique meeting in the synagogue that they had, it ended, and Jesus went to the house of Simon, it tells us, who we probably know better as Peter. And they arrived and they found Peter's mother-in-law suffering from a high fever. In fact, remember that Luke is a physician. And when he adds details like a high fever, okay? How many have ever had a high fever? And it pushes 103, 104, you're sick. Well, Luke is like, this is a high fever. This lady was sick. Now, what I like is what happens at the end of verse 38, but let me read through it. Jesus left the synagogue, went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. Here's the part I like, though. Listen. And they asked Jesus to help her. Church, did you know you could ask Jesus to help you? I think sometimes we've got the majesty and the wonder, but we put him so far off that sometimes it's like we don't think he can help. But did you know you can ask him to help you? He has authority to heal and touch your situation. Listen to what we're told happened in verse 39. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on him. I mean, one moment, this woman is extremely sick, and the next moment, she's getting up and fixing lunch. Somehow, a word began to spread about Jesus, and listen to what happens in verse 40. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Church, you need to know from the Old Testament till today, God still heals. The psalmist, he declared it this way in Psalm 103, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Peter, again, in his little first book, he's like, I need to reiterate this because I saw it happen at my mom's house. I saw it happen throughout my life. In fact, he said he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. James gives us some instructions. He says, is anyone sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Church, you need to know God still heals today. He's the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. And that's because Jesus has had all authority throughout all ages. Now, if you did catch this in the scripture, there's a part of verse 40 I want to take you back to. It's the last part. 40B part says, "And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them." Did you know Jesus took time to touch each person where they were? He treated each person individually, and he laid hands on each one of them. And whatever their problem was, Jesus made it right. Why? Because Jesus is a personal Savior. His involvement with people is not detached. He is attached. He is real, and he wants to be intimate with you. He's the one who not only has all the power, but he has the love and the compassion to go with that power. He longs to know you more and to meet you where you are. Church, all you got to say is, "Jesus, could you help me?" And I'm telling you, he's personal enough to come and meet you where you are and touch your need. In Luke 4:42, it goes on and says, "At daybreak," as I read that, I'm like, I'm not sure how long he touched. The sun was setting when they came. And then at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. I find it funny. You got one people trying to walk him out of the city and get rid of him. Now you got people wanting to keep him. But listen to what he says. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. In this passage, Jesus goes to this solitary place, this secluded place to be alone with God. And that's because I believe Jesus knew that his strength came from his communion with the Father. Church, you need to know crowds may be intoxicating. It's fun to have a crowd around you, but there's nothing like having an intimate moment with the Father. I love the worship in corporate. You know, and I love the feeling sometimes, but there is nothing like having a personal moment with God. Just you and Him hanging out, maybe crying, maybe rejoicing. Whatever the Holy Spirit and that communion with God happens, there's nothing like it. And Jesus knew that His power and His strength came from His time with the Father. So He takes authority, listen, over His own life, and He draws a way to re-strengthen His life. Jesus didn't come to be a celebrity among the people. He came to be a Savior. He didn't come to draw crowds around Him. He came to deliver a message that came from God. He didn't come to solve all the natural health problems in our world. He came to point people to the answer of their spiritual need, their spiritual problem. And then they could meet the one who would touch their situation. Church, I encourage you, learn to make time with the Father. Why is Jesus worth following? I believe it's because Jesus has the power to make a real difference in life where we need a real difference to be made. Now, we've not gotten deep into this. We're only in chapter 4 of all that Jesus is going to do. But as we read further, you're going to discover that Jesus, in the end of his life, was arrested, but he was arrested without a fight because he knew what his purpose was. He was crucified, but he never cursed. He prayed for his enemies, and he asked God to forgive them. When he died, he did not do so in defeat, but he did it with a cry of victory. "It is finished." 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead, and then he'll spend time with his disciples, and we find out these men are changed forever. And they served in his power, and they died proclaiming him without fear. Oh, we find that he'll ascend gloriously into heaven. And he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And church, he still longs to baptize his church with his Spirit so they can walk in power and they can have the boldness to proclaim the good news that Jesus saves. Now, church, I know as you talk to people in the world today, they may question you and say, well, why do you claim that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And the answer is very, very simple. He's the only one who has the credentials. He's the only one who has the authority. The Bible says, no other way, right? No one comes up to the Father except by me. Church, our job is not to try to argue people into the kingdom of heaven. Our job is to point people to the King of heaven. Our job is to say, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Today, there's two things I want you to walk away with. And worship team, would you go ahead and come? The first one is this. Since Jesus is the one who has all power and authority over demons and disease, then he also has the power to help you. If he has all authority, he has the power to help you. In the midst of all the people getting healed on that day that Simon's mother-in-law got healed, I just kind of wonder, were there people who stood in the background and they might have been saying, I wonder if he can help me? They were seeing people get healed, but they're like, I'm not really sick, but boy, I've got other issues. I wonder if he can help me. Today, your problem may not be a physical one. Your issue could be a stained past. It could be a broken marriage. Maybe it's a history of abuse or some rage in your life that's out of control. Maybe you've been involved in some kind of illegal or immoral activity. Or maybe you're sitting here today and you have an excellent reputation on the outside, but on the inside, your life contains secrets that you're afraid to disclose. And you feel like it's hopeless. I want you to know you've come to the right place today. And really more than that, you've come to the right person, the person of Jesus Christ. Because this place is his church. Jesus, who set demonic people free, can set you free this morning. The one who healed those who were sick can heal you and touch your life with his power today. He alone is the one who can save your soul and make you right with God. But just like the people in the story, you must come to him. You must come to Jesus. And then you will find that new beginning, because I know he can help you. Just ask, Jesus, would you help me? You can reach out today to him and you can become his follower and put your life in his hands. Before my altar call, I have one more thing though I want to remind you of today. If Jesus needed to draw strength from time alone with God, how much more do we? If he needed to find a solitary place, how much more do we? I hope you don't always feel like I'm pushing you and insisting, read your Bible, pray more, memorize more scripture. But church, the reason I push those things is because I want you to have a fulfilled life in Jesus. I want you to have his word in your life, his promises that are yes and amen. Spending time with God refuels your life. It refuels your spirit. It's how all of us connect to our Savior. You can come to church each week and you can do your church stuff. But if you never really connect with your Lord and Savior, you're going to run out of gas and you're going to break down. Because you need his power to refuel your life. You need his authority in your life to give you the direction you need to go. Church, Jesus alone is the only one who can cleanse us and truly change a human heart. He's the only one that can give us direction and fulfill our destiny. He alone has the power to make a difference in our life where we really need a difference made. And that makes him worthy of following because he fulfills his word. This morning, if you need salvation, healing, or freedom in any area of your life, you can ask Jesus to help you. You can come to him. This morning, I have no authority other than I presented to you the authority of his word to anoint, pray the prayer of faith, the Lord will raise them up. To believe that by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. And that he can heal all diseases. To know that he can set you free. If he can deliver a demon, he can deliver you from the junk that you're going through. And maybe there is a demon in your coworker or your boss. But what authority are you walking in? Church, you can ask Jesus and he'll show up. And I love this. He'll touch you. He'll minister to you. This morning, I'm teaching you to memorize these scriptures. And when we walk through in the beginning God, I mean, that is just foundational. And for many of us, that has much meaning when we just say, in the beginning God. And we just kind of wrap a lot of stuff. But for some people, that's a new thought. In the beginning God, I mean, there is a God and he created everything. Because our world is confused. But God's not confused. By the authority of his word, he spoke all of that into existence. That's why I want you to know that. You need to know that. It's foundational. But then you have to have that choice of to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Everything you've got. But it takes me to our verse today. Because we've quoted it, we've said it, but this is the day the Lord has made. Did you know God ordains the days? He makes them. That's what this scripture tells me. The Lord made this day. The struggle comes in that second part. We will rejoice and be glad. Listen, in what? What is it? In what God has designed for this day. The problem is, are you walking in his moment or are you walking in your moments? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in the day the Lord has made. In his design, in his work, and in his authority. Because I'm following that authority. So this morning, whatever it is in your life, if it's salvation, come. If it's healing, come. If it's deliverance, come. Because I want you to know, if you'll ask him, he'll meet you. We might be the ones laying hands on, but I'm telling you, in the power of his spirit, he'll lay hands on you. I believe this is not just stories. This is life. And we're to live that life. So I invite you, they're going to worship, and it's 11:48. Even if you give us 12 more minutes, to let the Lord speak to you. If you need to spend where you are and find that solitary moment that you've been missing in your life, start it now. Start it now. You go, well, I'm gonna do that tomorrow. Start it now. This is the day the Lord has made. He's speaking to your heart now, so rejoice in what he wants to do now. So church, it's up to you though to come to Jesus. You're not coming to a person. Our pastoral team, and Wayne, would you join us? And you can join them, Kathy. Would you come? Would you come, Bob and Betty Sue? And we're here, but we're nothing more than people of faith calling upon the one who activates upon faith. And so this morning, I want you to meet Jesus. Wherever it is, would you come and meet him today? Heavenly Father, as we just bow in this moment, as we worship in this moment, I pray that you would meet needs. Lord, that you would even save souls. Lord, that those who are drifted from you recognize they've been hiding, they've been playing a game, but God, today you want to set them free from that past. And Lord, even today for sickness and disease, I speak your name, your authority over those illnesses and over those things, that you might be glorified. And Lord, would you come and help us today? In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.